Blog Talk Radio.
Yes, this is Louis Beasley at 3687 at Chestnut Lake Court, Jonesboro. I was wanted to find out when I can do a walkthrough. I had called November. I don't have that paper right. Yes, this is Louis Beasley at 3687. A Chestnut Lake Court, Jonesboro. I was wanted to find out when I can do a walkthrough. I had called November. I don't have that paper right now, but anyway, I wanted to know when we could do a walkthrough because I'm vacating the premises and I've already vacated the premises. I'm doing a little cleaning up in the yard, but I'd like for to do a walkthrough. You can call me back at 404-914-0044. The only time I won't be available to receive a call is from 12 to 12:30. You can call before quarter to 12 or after 12:30. Again, the number is 404-914-0044. I want to schedule a walkthrough so I can give the keys back and vacate the property. Totally. Thank you.
A song I've been wanting to play, I'm going to love God forever, and forever and ever, and forever is a long time, it's a long time,
but God loves you that long,
He loves you that long.
Nothing in this world can make me walk away. No matter what life I face, I'll be by your side. No matter what you face, you won't be lonely. No matter what.
I'm going to go to the hospital.
long time, brothers and sisters. Hey, welcome to the Word at Noon. I am Louis Beasley, Apostle of Jesus Christ, called by the will of God to all the saints and faithful in Christ Jesus. We're truly happy to have each and every one of you all to participate in this they call the Martin Luther King's Day. Hallelujah. We thank God for the man who had a message, who dreamed, and now we're living the dream. We're living the dream in the Word of God because we're free. Hallelujah. Bless God. Thank God with that last. We're free. We're free. And I am glad about it. Hallelujah. We have a word of prayer, and then we're going to get into the lesson. Father God, we come with thanksgiving in our hearts. We thank you for your word, Father God. We thank you for what you've done for us thus far. And Father God, your word says, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God concerning you in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. So Father God, we thank you. We thank you for your word, because it's your word, Father God, that tells us who we are and whose we are in Christ. And for sure, Father God, we know that we are your children because the word of God tells us that, hallelujah. Father God, it's your word that tells us in Romans 8:16 that we are your children, hallelujah. And we're happy about it because we've been redeemed from the hand of the enemy, hallelujah. I thank you, Father God, we've been forgiven of our sins, praise God. And Father God, it's through that grace that you've allowed us to have, that, and it's through our faith, based on your grace, that we're saved. And we thank you for it, because it's through that, Father God, we're justified, we're made right. Hallelujah. We're excited about the word of God, Father God, so we just ask you to come and be part of this. Allow your Holy Spirit to teach us and guide us through this word. And then, Father God, we ask a special prayer for Evangelist Sharon, Father God. You just bind up anything that's attacking her body, her mind, and her spirit, Father God. We bind it in that Jesus, Father God. We say she's free, hallelujah, from all of that illness. She's free, Father God, from all the things that causing confusion in her life. She's free, Father God, from those things that have penetrated her body and her mind. We call her free, Father God, from those things. Hallelujah. And then, Father God, we just ask you right now in the mighty name of Jesus to continue to bless those that are struggling for truth, those that are struggling to operate in faith. Father God, my heart goes out to these people, Father God. I say free them right now. Free their spirit, man, Father God. Let them know that they're already free in your word. If they get in that word, Father God, they're free. Hallelujah. And I thank you for it. Father God, these and all blessings we ask in Christ's name. For his sake, we pray. Amen, amen. So, hey, brother, Pastor Bill, she has an appointment, and if she can be part of it, she will. She's listening in, but if she can participate, she will. And we thank God for her letting us know that. Also, we're going to go and give a shout-out. I think tomorrow is Pastor Bill's birthday, and wish her many, many more birthdays. Hallelujah. So, hallelujah. So, hey, brothers and sisters, that's a real good topic on yesterday. Pastor Bill went back and grabbed Ephesians 6. I think she got it from the Messenger Bible. So we wanted to finish that. There's a lot there to finish. And I don't know if we're going to finish it all today or not. But definitely we wanted to go back there. In Ephesians 6, I think it was the 10th verse, that you read it out of Messenger Bible. No, she read it out of God's Word. That's where she read it from. And it talks about put on the armor that God supplies. put on the armor that God supplies. And we want to go back there because Ephesians 6 and 10 in the King James Version, we find in my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the days, evil days, and having done all to stand, stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and the having of the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet sewed with the preparation of the gospel of peace, and above all, take the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. Hallelujah. Well, I'm going to tell you, about a time like this, this subject makes a lot of sense to me. Put on all the armor that God supplies. And these are the armors. But before we really get into that, let me say that Pastor, she'll read it from God's Word, and then we'll get into it a little bit.
Good afternoon, everyone. And Pastor, you said that was Ephesians 6.
Are you able to read from God's Word, Pastor?
Yes, Pastor. You said Ephesians 6. What verse again, Pastor?
She get ready.
I thought
this
I was.
This is the spiritual warfare of believers. So when you read Ephesians 6, 10 through 20, you have to take 2 Corinthians 10, 3 through 5 along with this. So in 2 Corinthians, Pastor, you available to read?
Yes, Pastor. Can you hear me?
Okay.
You can't hear me.
And meanwhile, Evangelist Pastor Marilyn brought out a point yesterday. Brothers and sisters, you have to understand, Satan's been authorized. He's been given the authority to make war against the saints. Now, if you're a saint, you need to get ready to fight, okay? That's just the bottom line. And you might well get ready to fight a spiritual war. That's important. So this is not no flesh and blood thing, and this is like no easy battle that you get ready to get into. But you get ready to get into something, you need God's power. That's why this is so important. If you don't stand, you got to have your loins girt about with truth. So if you're going to take your stand, you got to take it in truth. So you got to put on God's truth.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes we want to fight the enemy. Sometimes you got to have truth if you're going to fight the enemy.
Mm-hmm.
And you got to have the breastplate of righteousness. So if you're not going to stand in the right way and in God's righteousness, don't be trying to come out here to fight this battle, because you won't be able to stand. Along with having your feet so with the preparation of the gospel of peace. And above all, take the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. If you want to be able to bounce that stuff off, listen, brother, sister, you got to take on these weapons. And he commands us, if you will, I want to take them out. Pull up in the chair. We always need to eat first. He says to be strong in the Lord. Then we're going to talk about how you be strong in the Lord.
Amen.
Strong in his power.
Mm-hmm.
You know, match for Satan. So you got to be strong in God's power. And then the next thing, he says, put on the whole armor of God so you can stand. That's what that lady
said.
And then he says, to stand. Can't sit down on this job. That's stand.
Mm-hmm.
And Opal, he says, stand up and be counted. Have your loins girt about with truth. The Bible says in John 17:17, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is true. So we might touch on that a little bit this week. And we're definitely going to touch on righteousness. Just let me tell you what. If you're going to fight the good fight of faith, these are weapons. This is a way you have to prepare to be in God's army. Let me take my time to say this. Preparation means a lot. Yesterday, I watched a team lose because they was not prepared. They were not prepared. They were not prepared to go out there and fight the ball. And I mean, I don't know how much y'all know about football, but everybody on there should have known you give the ball to the referee, and the referee has to put the ball down. You can't just put the ball down because you feel like it or time running out. That's not your job. Your job is to run and give it to him. He'll put it down, and then play continue. They wasn't prepared for that.
Mm-hmm.
They wasn't prepared to even play against the team they played against. Well, why am I telling you this? Mm-hmm. Because the day is coming where it's going to be a game-time situation that you need to be prepared. So that's what this lesson is teaching us, how to get ready and stay ready. Stay prepared.
All right.
And our preparation is with the gospel of peace.
Mm-hmm.
That's how you stay ready. With the gospel.
Amen.
And then if things seem to get a little shaky, remember you got the shield of faith, because that's what you're fighting with. Okay? So hopefully, See, we're sharing this stuff because that's what God is. God is a faith God, brother and sister. And hopefully this week we'll talk about what produces the highest type of faith.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's been the problem in most Christian life. So one of the things that I've aimed to do is to cover this treasure. I'm going to call it a treasure, because when he tells us to fight the good fight of faith, well, it must be some treasure stuff. It must be real good. Because I missed half of this thing by just thinking worded. And then I remember what he said. Because we're to enter into this fullness with everything because of our adversary, the devil. He walking about seeing whom he may devour. So hopefully we'll be able to see that this war thing is sensitive. Very sensitive.
Mm-hmm.
And it's sensitive to the Father.
We're
going to tackle that this week. You know why? Because we're going to walk in the light as he's in the light. So that's another thing we're going to deal with this week. So you got to know that Satan is already defeated. And Jesus said, now, with what I'm going to give you, you're going to be able to stand. I hadn't made a note of that. I thought was real important. It's having a good confession, because a lot of us have a wrong confession, especially when it comes to battling against the enemy. So in Hebrews 4:14, he says, let us hold fast our confession. What is our confession? Why that God is our Father? We are his children. We are in his family. We operate like God operates. How is that, you ask? He speaks. We speak. We speak as we believe. That's what God did. God believed, he spoke it. See, when you believe, you're speaking. That's acting on the word.
Amen.
It is a confession that our fathers did, our foreparents did, and our forefathers. It's a good confession. They confessed certain things. I'm often reminded of Moses. His confession was he'd rather suffer with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasure of sin for a season. It is a good confession when you confess what the Word of God says in every situation. It's a good confession when you say, greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. It's a good confession. When you say things like, God supply all of my needs according to his riches in glory. When you say that, I just go through you. It is my confession. When I pray, the Father hear my prayer and answer me.
Amen.
That's very important. And we may talk about a little about prayer this week. Because in that 18th verse, he says to pray. Now, I know some people have got this twisted, but brother and sister God, if that's one of the things we need to know how praying always with all prayer and supplication in the spirit and watching thereunto with all prayer and supplication for all saints. That's a prayer you got to be doing all the time. Always pray and not faint. You praying in the spirit is praying in the word of God, praying according to the word of God. And what I had shared on yesterday.
Amen.
When you're not prayed up, you're not standing up.
All right.
When you don't have your life prayed up, then you're not up. But you can pray prayers like, and I can do all things in him who strengthens me, who enables me. That's a prayer, brother and sister. What? That's how you pray. The devil needs to hear that kind of stuff. He needs to hear what the word of God says. You know why? He is commanded to obey the word of God. So look at it like this. If you're praying what the word of God say to pray, then Satan has to obey you. See?
Amen.
We don't want to hope. No, we want to be believers. Believing assure you that your prayer is answered.
Amen.
Says, I hope you hear me. But when you're confessing what the word of God say, brother and sister, I got to tell you right now that it will be answered. See, Satan likes to strategize, if I should say this. And when you praying the word of God, it ain't nothing he can strategize. It's nothing he can do now. Our words, we are in our words. They are born in us. They are part of us. So we live in them. They live in others. So we know each other by our words. Our words are ourselves. Words are given to express ourselves. So the Bible says we are born of God, gave his birth to us. He gave his life in his own words. He is in his word. It is a part of him. We know God by his word. Oh, you need to know God is by his word. If you know him any other way, the devil's fooling you. He has expressed himself in it. God lives in his word. He lives in our lips. This sets Jesus free to heal, save, bless, say something else. See, when you understand the lordship of Christ, he knew that if he would speak a word, that it was going to produce healing. It was going to produce deliverance. See, his word controlled the natural world. Matter of fact, his word controlled the things in the natural. That's why the Bible says, he that believeth have eternal life. A person that's going to act on the word of God. See, I know God's word in my lips will do it. First, it is the word in your heart or in your spirit. Then it is the word that's in your lips. Jesus knew what his Father's word would do in his lips. Peter and John knew the word would do in their lips. It is the word that goes forth out of our mouth that cannot return unto him void. Listen, dear heart, the creator of words in the lips of Jesus is the creator word in your lips. If Jesus spoke it and stood on it, then you have to speak it and stand on it. See, that's what real prayer is, brothers and sisters. It's his word in the throne room of God. So when your words go forth, it opens the throne room of God. And you know his word will not return unto him void. So why not pray a prayer that's a fact? Huh? Why not pray a prayer that you know you're going to have results? There's no hoping. There's no guessing. And then you can repeat the same thing back to somebody else. Oh, I know God's going to answer my prayer. How I know? It's the word of God, out-breathing of God. It's the mind of God, the will of God. It is God speaking. See, when you speak his word back to him, God is pleased, brothers and sisters. See, it is my faith that's living in the word, the written word. It is the word in my lips that heals the sick, that breaks the power of demons over me. That's what Jesus did. It ain't my holding somebody's hand. It's speaking the word of God. Because, see, let me tell you what about your foe. And that's something we may talk about, too. Because you got to know who the foe is. Got to know it's your enemy, and how Jesus handled him is how we're going to talk about this week. He handled him with words. So when the storm came, Jesus used words. When people were sick, they was against Jesus. Sickness was against Jesus, and that's something else. Jesus said, "Now if they did this to me, they're gonna do it to you. If the world hate me, they're going to hate you too." So the world becomes foe. Jesus didn't appreciate sickness taking over people's lives. And yes, they had doctors, because Jesus said, the sick need the, who needs the physician? The ill or the sick, or the well or the sick. They said the sick. Yeah. Because they was against Jesus. And they're going to be against you. But just like Jesus healed people with his word, that's what we're going to have to do. He lay hands, that's what we're going to have to do. You just, because this is what part of your fight, but it has to be through the Lord. Don't let folks fool you about, oh, well, you know, some people, no. You have a good confession and watch you get healed. And if you don't believe it, you got to stop treating the Word of God like it's some common book. It's our life. The Word of God is our life. It ain't something you just read and, oh, man, that was a good little story I read. No, it gets in us and it becomes what the Word is. He lives in us. He abides in us. Yeah. So there is no more failure. Yeah. So we're going to have to do a study in faith, the deeper part. See, the reason faith is so difficult is that the sense knowledge has gained the ascendance in our education, in our religion, in our science world. And because of sense knowledge has come through our physical contact with the world, we have learned to trust to utter the things that our eyes see. We utter the things that our ears hear. We utter those things that we can smell, we can taste. See, the spiritual things are hard to understand because you're not tasting them. You're not seeing them in the natural. You're not feeling them. See, everybody want to feel they God. Brothers and sisters, we want to know our God. That's why Thomas got in trouble. He had to feel it. So God, Jesus said, okay, blessed those that have not seen but yet believe. We got to get a picture of the real God, and the real God is in his word. And that was the day, that would come a day that we would see him even as he announced. But right now, when we can start believing the word of God above what our eyes and lips and head and all this can tell us, and we stand on the word of God, how we should be speaking. Remember Jesus said, for I speak not for myself, but for the Father who sent me. He have given me a commandment, what I should say and what I should speak. But it's the same thing with us, brothers and sisters. God giving you the word to what to say. He's not going to say anything outside of this word. And don't let folks fool you. Why should God do that? He would be going against his own policy. What, to make somebody feel good? Somebody got some cheaper revelation you don't have? No. If Jesus had to submit to the word of God, then we have to submit to the word of God. We say what he says. Why? Because we don't want to be part of the devil's line, his strategy. He wanna try to get us to start speaking what he says, what we feel. We don't do that. We speak what the word of God says. But anyway, the word is for the power of it. And him told you already what we're to do. And so hopefully this week we'll cover a lot of these things as we study the understanding of getting eternally ready. But the last thing you want to do is go to, when you leave here, you're not prepared to answer questions. You're not prepared to handle what's at stake. And you, oh, well, my grandmama, she made it. How you know what she made it? My granddaddy, he was a praying man. He had, you don't know that. Only thing you can control is where you're at. You can't control nobody else's fate. You can only control yours. And then teach others to control theirs by trusting the word of God. Then you become a faith walker, just like the people in the book of Hebrews. Okay, we're going to look for you all tomorrow.